Traditionally, the gospel for the first Sunday of Lent is Jesus at temptation in the desert for one of the synoptic gospels, today from Matthew, of course. You know, today the word temptation has become to mean something bad, but we tend to use the word in the wrong way. Temptation itself is not a sin, rather is what we do with it can be a sin. As example in the first reading from Genesis, we hear the serpent testing the first woman and man by telling them they will have knowledge of good and evil, the wisdom of God, by simply eating of the forbidden fruit, traditionally an apple. The temptation was not the sin, but the couples giving into it became the sin. As someone has said, it was not the apple in the tree that was the problem, it was the pear on the ground. The pear, Adam and Eve, opened the door for all of us to be tempted by the devil. The devil even tempted Jesus Christ, God and man, as we heard in the gospel. After Jesus was baptized by John, the Spirit led him into the desert to prepare for his public ministry. He spends those 40 days and 40 nights fasting. Jesus' time in the desert was a time of reflection and prayerful communication with his Father in preparation for what lay ahead of him in his public ministry. The devil tries to derail that ministry before it even gets started. He tempts him, you'll note, with three natural human desires: food, honor, and power. Jesus and the devil play a little game of scriptural jeopardy, if you will. The devil offers a tempting answer in fulfillment of a desire. Jesus responds with an appropriate scriptural response that rejects the temptation. You know, temptation often comes when we are weak and hungry. Thus, the devil starts with food. Command these stones to become loaves of bread. Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone. As we know, later in his ministry, Jesus would show concern for others by feeding the hungry crowds, multiplying the bread and fish. Today, he feeds us with the bread of his body in the Holy Eucharist. Like Jesus, do we use our God-given gifts, abilities, and talents for the benefit of others? Are our jobs and professions means to serve others, or merely to accumulate things for our pleasure and comforts? Take a look at our possessions, cars, clothes, books, and so forth. How much do we share with the others? The next temptation is honor. The devil takes Jesus to the top of the temple. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself off, and the angels will save you. Jesus says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus used his divine powers to heal others physically and spiritually, not for personal gain or glory. Likewise, the devil urges us to want to be recognized as special people, the people who know everything about everything, all the answers. Do we use our positions in society to help others succeed, rather than striving to always be first and the smartest? In other words, do we treat others with kindness and humility as Jesus did? Finally, the devil promises Jesus power over all the kingdoms of the world if he will prostrate himself before him. Jesus was faithful to his Father. Him alone did he serve. Are we obsessed with our own importance, the right to determine right and evil on our own? Who or what do we worship? Do we idolize celebrities, sports figures, political figures, material possessions, and success? Are we always checking our iPhone? Are we what the American Psychological Society calls a constant checker, always looking on your phone, Twitter, Facebook, etc., but ignoring the people right before us, our loved ones? You know, Jesus was able to resist the devil's tempting because he was spiritually well prepared. Temptations can come at any time, any place. We need to be ready to resist them. You know, my aunt and uncle lived on a farm in rural Louisiana near Thibodaux, at the time partially settled. They had a small vegetable garden near their home. When the peas, corn, and other vegetables began to sprout, birds would come and try to sneak a meal off those nice, tasty, tender sprouts. In an effort to keep them away, my uncle created scarecrows, just like you've seen. A couple of poles, old hat, a shirt. And it was very effective keeping the birds away most of the time. You know, in a similar way, we need to develop our own spiritual defenses, scarecrows, if you will, to fend off those attractive temptations that try to take advantage of our weaknesses. And the best way to build those solid defenses is through prayer, calling on Jesus, especially through the Eucharist, fasting from our favorite pleasures, and showing concern for others, especially the poor. Pope Francis recently spoke of temptations in a homily. He said, "Temptations begin small, then grow, increasingly growing stronger, finally to claim the soul that it seeks to justify itself." A frightening thought. Lent is a time for us to identify the chronic temptations that we live with. And sometimes, owing to our ego, we fail to recognize our worldly attractions. A suggestion. When you get home, take out a sheet of paper, and after prayerful reflection, list all the temptations that you deal with constantly. We all have the ones that keep attacking us. On the other side, write down a spiritual defense, a scarecrow, that you can call upon to let that temptation go away. Keep that sheet of paper at your prayer place. Refer to it daily. When that sneaky serpent shows up with an attractive temptation, be more readily recognizable, and your defense of scarecrows can be quickly put into action.